Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Jose Cato, and you're tuned in to Seventh Day Appeal. Welcome once again, friends, to Seventh Day Appeal. Now, today in our lesson, we'll be addressing the topic of perfection. Now, to me, this is one of the most important things we can ever understand about the gospel, if not the most important thing about the gospel. And we can even correlate this theme of perfection or righteousness by faith with the practicality of the gospel, because righteousness itself is expressed in actions. You know, faith, yes, faith is belief, but the righteousness by faith, righteousness is a product. Faith is the initiative, right? So when you connect that with the doctrine of country living, it goes right in hand with righteousness by faith when you think about it. Now, and I know we are to be concerned about, it's an instruction of the Lord. We need to get out of the cities. We need to get out of the cities. We need to get out of the cities. We hate everywhere. This is absolutely mandatory for us to follow the instructions of God and be in His will. However, if we do not understand the concept of righteousness by faith to become perfect, if we do not put the bulk of our emphasis on the spiritual aspect of righteousness by faith, the faith aspect of it, we will be in great trouble, great peril indeed. Not that we're not already going through great peril, but we'll be even in bigger peril if we don't nail that part of it down. You know, and I believe we need to have an equilibrium. We need to have a balance. We need to place emphasis on both aspects. But primarily, the emphasis has to be on the faith aspect, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, we can go wherever we want to go. We can go in a cave. We can go on a mountain. We can go under the ocean. It would not matter if we don't know how to obtain grace from God. And that knowledge only comes by faith. You know, that knowledge only comes by the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. So we need to understand this concept. We need to have an experience with this concept. And it needs to become a part of our lives. We need to know Jesus through His grace. We need to know Him by His grace. When you think about it, righteousness by faith really is perfection. When you implement righteousness by faith, you are becoming perfect. So, yeah, they're one in the same. And a lot of people in our church, well, leaders in our church, condemn this belief. They condemn this doctrine. They don't advocate that. And it's a tragedy. So, as a fellow believer who understands the times, the gravity of the times that we're living in right now, I believe I'm burdened by the Lord to share this information to many who don't even know about it, and to many who might know the heresy and the confusion on the topic and who just needs a bit more clarification. Here we are. And so without further delay, let's jump right into this one. Can I be perfect? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who have kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is our mission here on earth ever since we fell into sin? Let's start by looking in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. So following the theme that I've used in our previous episodes, I'm going to tackle this one by a series of questions and answers. And so, our first question reads, what is our mission here on earth ever since we fell into sin? And I'm going to establish our answer from the following verses, beginning in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. It reads, Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Now, our second verse is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. Now, our next verse is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so what is a common theme that we've noticed among all of these? Beginning in Ezekiel, we see that he was perfect, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. So he was perfect and an iniquity was found in him. And Romans confirms, it says, and we be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we see a similar theme here as into Ezekiel. We see that we are no longer perfect and we now need to be transformed. Right? Now Ephesians goes on to say, till we shall all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfection. So we clearly see here that we are imperfect beings. From the time Adam and Eve fell, well, initially when Satan fell and he convinced Adam and Eve to give up their rights to their dominion, earth, and even their rights to righteousness, you know, and here we are, we're imperfect. So our goal, I'm just going to read my comment. It says, ever since our great fall in Eden, our object of greatest concern should be to attain through faith the unblighted, perfect character of our now risen Savior, Jesus Christ. To become perfect is our work of this lifetime. So friends, we know that we are imperfect beings and we need, in order to be a part of the kingdom, we need to be perfect. The Lord will not allow any, we see the verses, he will not allow any whoremongers, he will not allow any liars, any stealers, extortioners, and the list goes on, fearmongers, the list goes on and on and on, adulterers, and so on, into the kingdom. It's not going to happen a second time. He's not going to allow this to happen a second time. So, we need to be perfect. Now, how is it that the Lord requires us to be perfect when we are sinners? How does that make sense? Like, we are required to be perfect, but we have a sinful body. Lord, what are you asking? What are you asking me here? Okay, well, let's make sense out of that. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. It reads, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And we have another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And that reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay? So the Bible confirms to us that it is absolutely possible to become perfect, that he transforms us. And we read that in our previous verse from Ephesians, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And we have the confirmation that it is the law of the Lord from Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, that is perfect, converting, transforming our soul. Okay? And in 2 Timothy told us that the law of the Lord, all scripture, is considered to be classified as the law of the Lord, making that man of God perfect as he applies what he sees in there into his life. He's making him thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now my comment says, the testimony of the Lord is the perfect law of the Lord, which are the scriptures given by inspiration of God, making wise the simple and converting the soul, that the man of God may be perfect. Yes, we are sinners by birth, but by rebirth through the Spirit of God and obeying, by faith, submitting our wills to his instructions, we can be transformed into perfect creatures. Okay, so now what does it mean to be perfect? We understand how to become perfect so far, but what is perfection in and of itself? Let's find that out by going to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 40, and that reads to us, the disciples is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Okay, Galatians chapter 3 verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 through 23, it reads, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which will live and abide forever. So before I read my comment, I'll just break it down simply saying that when we have settled into the truth, when we've settled into the truth, when we can no longer yield to our flesh because we are so strong, our fidelity is fixed. Our fidelity is fixed. We would rather die than to sin against God. No temptation can move us. No temptation can remove our will from submission to God's command. At that point, you can say, we have achieved perfection. Now, my comment says, to be perfect is to be led by the Spirit of God unwaveringly, obeying the principles of righteousness as dispensed through the Holy Ghost, by believing or conforming to the scriptures and abstaining wholly from the forces of evil. This willful, deliberate, determined, and intellectual compliance makes us his children, born of his Spirit, making him our rightful master and father. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 through 3, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evils as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby? If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To be perfect, we must eschew evil, which is to detest and abstain from it. Being perfect is a choice, a difficult one to commit to if we are not actuated by His love, which is His Spirit, but certainly is a realistic endeavor. Remember, it is not our obedience that makes us perfect. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 verse 1 through 2 reads, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadon of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. But without obedience, it would be impossible to be perfect, since it is Christ's sacrifice and merits, which is His grace, that validates and gives power to our obedience. To stabilize or settle ourselves into a full compliance with His law and government is to be perfect. This means that we cannot be double-minded, wavering in the mind. Alright, so I believe this explanation did justice in clarification. Now notice how Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but for some reason, his heart was still not perfect before the Lord. Interestingly enough, we did address that in the beginning of this episode, right? How we can focus sometimes a little bit too much, because of our human nature, we can focus a little bit too much on the physical aspect of righteousness by faith, and not so much on the nitty-gritty, not so much on the details, not so much on the relationship part of righteousness by faith, because we cannot be righteous on our own. It is through knowing Christ by His grace that we can be righteous. You know, woe was the Jews, the ancient Israel. That was a mistake. They were trying to keep the law without faith. You know, the Lord called them hypocrites left and right and center. You know, every day. He loved them, and that's why He called them that. You know, so that's a takeaway from that one. Perfection is righteousness. So moving on to the next. Which leads us to our final question. What proof do we have for sinful men becoming perfect? Okay, let's go to Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And now let's go to Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'm just going to go straight to my comment. We see here that Paul, although admitting his imperfect nature, affirms that he is a work in progress, and is certainly striving for the mark, that by God's grace he might prohibit that thing, which is sin, of which he is apprehended in Christ through continual edification and application. The term apprehended of Christ here means to be willfully subject to Christ by the power of grace. That is contrary to the notion that he would knowingly choose to sin repetitively and apologetically while claiming God's grace. We see also that Job, a born sinner, is described from the golden pages of Scripture as a perfect man who feared God and eschewed evil. This incontrovertible proof is sufficient enough to verify the infallible doctrine of the mystery of godliness. Yes, to say the least, it is possible to attain perfection while still occupying a sinful body. So make no mistake about it, friends. We can't play games. Look at the times we're living in right now. Can we afford to play games? hopping over the fence one day and back and forth, in grace, out of grace, in grace, out of grace. At some point, we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit completely away, and we're not going to hear His voice join us back to Him. So now is the time to make our calling and election sure. Now is the time to be perfect, because once that Sunday law comes into effect, probation close for us Seventh-day Adventists. And so, gird up your loins and be sober. Get yourselves together, including me, I'm speaking to me. And let's be ready. Let's be ready. I love all of you, and may the Lord richly bless everyone who dares to attain perfection.